It's good to be here. You know, I always get nervous, but also the more I get to be here, I get so joyous. I really enjoy it. I really do. You know, it sounds so funny, but there's no place, and I really mean that I'd rather be than right here. Amen. Amongst family and friends, a warm building, you know, it's so wonderful. Sometimes we think about, you know, coming to service being like a dinner, and, you know, where can you get such a wonderful group of people and such a wonderful meal, and, of course, the best cook being God himself to help bring forth food? I'm just a waiter, people. The meal's already been prepared. I thank God for it, you know, and I'm grateful for the prayers that help set the way for the meal. It's like when people set up the silverware, right? Amen. God is good to us. But I want to open up with the scripture text today, and I want to take a look at Titus 2 and 12. It says there, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. You know, why are we given these instructions? Because God wants us to be a witness. Amen. That's our job. We need to be a witness for the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that we have a calling. Amen. It says in Ephesians 4 and 1, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. 1 Peter 1, 15 through 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so ye be holy. And just some of your conversation, right? No. In all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. So just a side note, you know, sometimes we talk freely and we go about, we need to be very watchful of what we say. It has a profound effect upon how we represent Christ, which is our calling to be a witness, right? So we also have to be careful how we hold ourselves in communication. You know, we communicate in a lot of ways today. We communicate in our dress. We communicate, you know, maybe verbally through our actions, through our face. We communicate, a lot of us online, messaging, texting, all these things. We have various forms that bring out a communication to the outside world there. Amen. There's probably things I could not wear up here where you would take me seriously if I was really trying to project and be a witness of God, right? So what's the difference between how I dress up here and then if I should go out there, outside of this building, outside of this parking lot, outside amongst all you wonderful people, and dress a certain way? Am I still not supposed to represent Christ? So then, you know, you got to take in consideration, because you guys may not always see me, but I tell you what, God does. And that's the one who I'm supposed to be portraying. Amen. So you got to be careful with what kind of conversation that we bring forth, because it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in what? All manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. And, you know, a lot of people, they say, well, it's just not fair. Well, you know what, there needs to be a realization, amen, to what kind of calling we have, what kind of job that we have actually gone into. In 1 Peter 2 and 5, it says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. When we take a look at the idea of a spiritual sacrifice, and that we're supposed to be offering, we say, I thought that kind of offering went away a long time ago. Well, let's get an idea of what kind of sacrifice that we're supposed to be giving up. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Oh, that's reasonable. Amen. You know, sometimes you can work with children and they just think you are not reasonable. How can you expect me to come in? I work with third and fourth graders, by the way. How can you expect me to come in and behave and have a good attitude? Don't you know I'm tired? What? I thought you were coming to school. Well, I'm tired. That's why I'm behaving this way. You know, I was working there. This is my second year there. And it was just after a little bit of time that I realized what I had to do when I got those cases in there, where they gave me the, I'm tired and that's the reason. Or I'm this and that's the reason. Or I'm that and that's the reason I'm this way. I tell them now, I cut them off the butt. I say, you know what? There may be a reason, but your behavior is still not appropriate. I have no tolerance for that behavior. So you can be tired, but you better not have that behavior. You know what? God is very desirable, but he does not tolerate bad behavior depending on whatever reason you want to bring forth. We get tired. You know, we can get grumpy when we're tired and things of that nature, but we got to be careful, Christians, because once again, we're a witness. Amen. We're a witness. Now, we want to continue on when we talk about that reasonable service and being the, well, that reasonable service is to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, something that we got to kind of think about is if we think about our body, and Brother Borders has been bringing a wonderful teaching service. If you haven't been to it and you have the opportunity, go to it. Amen. But if you think about the body, it's kind of like the wallet of a man. So, you know, let's open it up and see what the Lord wants, right? Amen. Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Amen. All right, let's look at that spiritual body again. You open that up, and I think he's asking for a little bit of it. No, he just said all thy soul, all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And what commandment is that? Oh, that's the first. Oh, man. And then let's get down to the second. And in verse 31, it says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And someone just said, Lord, if I do that, there's nothing left for me. That's the idea. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's the idea. You know, it says, we heard a song, we'll tell the world it's worth it all. Well, when you open up that spiritual body, or can you show the world when you turn it upside down, there's none left for you, that it really was worth it all? Or do some dollars slip out like Ananias and Sapphira? Oh, I thought they put it all on the offering plate. Wasn't it theirs, and didn't they have it? And wasn't it in their possession and able for them to give while it was in their possession? But all of a sudden it came, and it turns out they held back a little, and because of that they found physical death, and they set a lesson for us to follow spiritually. You can't expect to hold back on some few bucks in your spiritual wallet and expect to still live as Christ would have you. Amen. So we want to keep on taking a look at some of these things. In Mark 10:28, it said, then Peter began to say unto him, because Peter thought the same thing. You know, oftentimes you find the same story in Matthew 19. It's when they looked at the man that couldn't give all, and it was because he was rich. And then they got the idea of salvation. They said, who can live that way? He said, well, man is impossible. With God, all things are possible. But then it got down to it that Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all. He said, my wallet's empty, God, and I followed thee. He was getting ready to complain a bit, you know what? But Jesus cut him off real quick, and Jesus answered and said, Mark 10:29, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel's. See, Jesus, he looked at Peter, who was holding his water with his wallet empty, and was saying, God, look, I gave everything. He said, he didn't give it, you invested it. He said, you made an investment, Peter. And he let Peter know, because that investment holds true for us today. He said in verse 30 of Mark 10, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children's and lands with what? With the easy Holiday Inn special. Now you look at that verse, with persecutions. And in the world to come, eternal life. Amen. This is so important to realize the outcome of the investment that Peter was saying. Peter opened up his little wallet and said, I gave all. But at the same time, Christ said, you made an investment is what you made. And not only that, you're not going to just reap it sometime off in the near future. You're going to reap it in this life. And in the boot, you got a good retirement plan, right? You know why we need to be focused on this, Christians? Because there's too many sad people looking around with a couple bucks in their wallet, and they're saying, I lost it all. They're not singing a song, it was worth it all. They're singing, I lost it all. My friend, you got to lose your life to get it right. Amen. You want that sweetness and the joy, the big investment, man, you got to put in. And the only way you're going to get in on that investment is if you put it all in. Otherwise, you haven't bought the stock yet. Amen. The transaction has yet to be complete. That's why there's so many people that speak of Christianity, but there's no joy on their face. They're not yet enjoying the true benefits of Christ. He just listed it. This is not false. This is not something far. This is something real. 12 years ago, when I got saved, amen, and Brother Sesher came down, and he was the evangelist. He invited me to God's Acres, and I said, I don't know. I'll pray about it, and I meant it, saints, and I did. And God saw that I was really praying for wisdom. Do I come? Amen. How important is that? That when we pray, we just don't have our own thought of, oh yeah, I'll pray. I hear that so much. I'll pray about it. No, you didn't. You just went on doing what you wanted to do anyway. Amen. No, I really prayed about it. And because God saw that I was faithful and willing and desired an answer, and that I was willing to go based on what he had said, he told me, go for family. Well, I was ignorant. Well, I don't got no family up there. See, I even used the word God. I don't have any family up there. He said spiritual family. Well, I didn't know what that meant, but I tell you what, I got spiritual family here today. I got brothers and sisters all over the place. I come up here, I hug them, I say hello to them, I watch some of them grow up. They look more like men every time I see them. Amen. I love and I appreciate my godly family here. I got doors and homes that I can go into. You know, first time I stayed with Brother Stegmeyer, and the only time I did, not because I don't desire to be there more often, where'd they put me, out there in the jungle? No, they brought me into their home. They gave me a bed. They said, whatever in the fridge is yours. The shower's right there. Amen. See, these promises are true. But people need to see that they're true. We talked about the love of God needing to be shown that it's true. Why? Because it lets people know that God is not lying when he tells us the investment is worth it all. Amen. If you're living with a few bucks and you're not benefiting on actually what you should be benefiting on, being a child of God, how are you actually going to bring forth a witness and, you know, be joyful in these things and show people what you actually have and make them say, well, I got all the money, I got a full wallet, but I still don't have what they have. How do I get it? And when they see the treasure in you, they might go sell all they have and then go and get it themselves. That's how important a witness is for God and understanding the benefit package of God. That's how important it is. If we're not living it, it don't matter if we're saying it. It don't matter if we're preaching it. We need to live it. We need to love it, and we need to take joy in it. Amen. Want to continue on, because we talk about what we are entitled to, but we want to continue on. Let me see. Flip here. We are to be invested in Christ. Matthew 13:44-46. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth that he hath and buyeth that field. Have you really found the treasure of God? Because I'm telling you, if you have, then only God will help you to see it. Amen. Amen. Only God will help you to see it. Because remember when the Pharisees, they asked when the kingdom's coming? He says it does not come with observation. Amen. He says, because it's in you. Amen. Right? And he told old Nicodemus, you can't even see the kingdom of God unless you be born again, right? Amen. So when you get this idea, that treasure, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. People, if you get salvation at that altar, you should be joyful. Amen. You know, sometimes people go down and, well, they say they got saved, but you think, man, maybe they didn't give all their dollars up in their wallet. They didn't actually get the purchase, right? I know when I got saved, man, I was so happy. I was so joyful. That was mine now. Amen. I wasn't even thinking about what I lost. I was enjoying what I just got. There was joy. Amen. I tell you what, you buy a new car, don't you want to go drive that around right away? But then when you get people that are saved, the next thing you know, they ain't coming to services. You're like, what happened to the joy? Did they garage it? They put it away. It says, let your light so shine. Amen. Amen. Makes you kind of wonder what kind of, did they actually buy it? I don't even see it at their house. It must be in the garage. Do you really got that joy? Amen. Are you still riding around in anxiety? An old car called anxiety. And all these other things people ride around in. Amen. Thank God he gave me joy. You know, some people who claim the riches of Christ are living as beggars. They say they're rich, but certainly it doesn't seem so. In Revelation 3:17-18, it says, because thou sayest, I am rich. Amen. And increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Amen. And yet God is still putting forth an opportunity, beautiful opportunity. He says, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Amen. He's talking about precious wealth. What kind that can never be told? Amen. The unsearchable riches. He's saying all that stuff you got right there, I'm still open to do business with you. Because he loves us. He He's helping us. He's wanting us to see the opportunity. But even though he wants us to see the opportunity, keep in mind the cost is still the same. Are you willing to let go of bitterness, your past, issues with other people? Amen. Is that part of your life, something that you can part with? You know, it's amazing sometimes, you know, you got faces on the dollar bills and whatnot, right? Can you imagine the things that people would see in that spot where the faces are on the dollar bill if you opened their wallet and you saw what they're really holding on to? And you could look and pull up that dollar bill and just look at it and see, they're holding on to those? Amen. I thought they had big bucks in there or something. Those are the things they're holding on to when you have the unsearchable riches of Christ, but yet they're holding on to these things. What's the value? Amen. You know, some people, God don't want me to go there. Amen. But just think, when you look at why you don't have joy in your life, well, you're still riddled with anxiety and things, you just always got the same problem coming up. Did you actually pay for the full service? Did you actually pay to get the joy, the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit in your life, the happiness, the kindness, the gentleness, the long-suffering, the self-control that we know as temperance? Did you actually get all those things because you were willing to empty out your wallet? Or are you still holding on some dollars, and if you looked at them, you know exactly what those were that you were holding on, because Christ ain't going to keep us ignorant of what he's waiting for. He's going to say, you still haven't given me. And you know what the beautiful thing about Christ is? You look at what you're trading off. Yeah, amen. You look at what sometimes a person will hold back in their wallet, and you think, and that's all he's waiting for, to give you all that. Amen. We want to continue on to take a look at these things. You know, when it comes down to it, it talked over in that Revelation about white linen. The idea of maybe garments of salvation, robes of righteousness, amen, that we can really portray and be a witness of what God wants, that we can adorn the doctrine. You know, it makes a difference when the world sees those who adorn the doctrine, who live as God teaches. When we think of, once again, of Titus 2 and 12. And what did Christ tell us? When we take a look over at Matthew 5 and 14, he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, as you think about these things, and I have a long drive when I get here, which I thoroughly enjoy. It gives me an opportunity to be with Christ and talk with him and all that goodness. But you can't help but notice there's a lot of billboards they got out there. Amen. What if your life was a billboard on that hill he was talking about? What would it have on there? Would it be advertising medication, exercise, health, fitness, and wellness plans? Would it be just one big sports billboard up there? Or maybe you'd have French fries and all kinds of food. You're advertising the food. And then down there in the little corner of the billboard, people can't even see because they're so full of what's being portrayed on that. Does it say, I love Jesus too? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right. Amen. Right. You know, God's leased you out a billboard. It's called your life. How are you going to advertise for him? What kind of witness do you got going out on that billboard called your life that he has leased out to you? Don't you know that billboard is not your own? It's been bought with a price. And you are the billboard of the Spirit of God. If so, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Amen. God wants to know, and he already sees, but do we actually know how we are perceived by God? Help us, Lord. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father which is in heaven. There's what our billboard needs to do. There's what our life needs to be, is that when people look at that, they don't say, oh, that person's so good at this or that. You know, even when he said, why therefore call ye me good master or good teacher? I forgot what it was. He said, don't you know there's only one good but God? See, even Jesus, he wasn't trying to point away that he wasn't good. He was just trying to make sure that God got the glory, setting an example for how we were to be. Christ is our example. If anyone could have said, yes, I am good, wouldn't that have been Christ? He went right back to the Father to give the Father glory. How are we to be? The same way. Our life should be showing us. You know, a lot of times we have social media. When we look at the social media and someone gets on there and sees your site, are you glorifying yourself? You got the little pretty puckered lips, little fox things on or whatever. You got the muscle shirt. Amen. Where are you at with how you are glorying God and the display that he has given you? All manner of communications, be ye holy for I am holy, right? There's another part of your communication. How are you communicating? How does your life at all times communicate God, the joy you have in him, and the way you live to a world that needs to see him? Amen. We want to continue to think about some of these things, because saints, when it comes down to it, you know, we want to make sure that we are focused. That's really what it comes down to. Because we have a job to do. I thank God for salvation, but that is simply the hiring process. Some people, they enjoy the hiring. It's wonderful. It's exciting. They love the orientation. Oh, they're learning everything. The milk of the word, the babe process, right? But then all of a sudden, it's time to work. Man. Amen. Because there is work to be done, saints. Amen. Amen. If you want to get the reward, there's work to be done, saints. We want to take a look at in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Let me turn there real quick. I don't have the quickest fingers. Amen, but God knows. We want to take a look at Matthew 28, 19 through 20. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. How? By our actions. By our love. By our spirit. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. If you think about that, are we doing our job to teach the world? Are we doing our job to be a witness with our life, living in the Spirit, setting forth the example? There are so many things to take stock of. And the devil would try to darken every avenue. He'd say to make the purchase is too costly. Oh, you'll never get any benefit out of that investment. And so forth, because that's what he does. He lies. He wants us to get caught up in the investments he has. Oh, come over here. I got something better for you. It looks real nice. You know? But it's just like Brother Allen said. When you get some storms that go through it, oh, man, the holes start to shine, right? He's talking about that buffed up thing. Don't let Satan get you on cells like that, people. Because you'll find once the storms of life go through it, you're going to see it wasn't what it appeared to be. And then you're going to wonder, God, where's that little place that you're trying to sell me? Amen. God help us, saints. We're going to go ahead and close out today. I'll turn it back over, but just reflect on that. If you're holding any dollars back in your spiritual wallet, here's now the time to go forth and dump them out. Get rid of those old ugly bills and get the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus in your life.